Welcome to Cannabis House Call. This podcast is committed to educating the discerning public and will make the case for cannabis as medicine. Your hosts, Dr. Les Matthews and Dr. Hal Altman, are physicians with advanced degrees in medical cannabis. The Cannabis House Call is sponsored by Compassionate Certification Centers, or CCC. CCC is a physician-owned and leading medical marijuana certification center that helps patients receive legal access to medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Having certified more than 100,000 patients across the state through its in-office and virtual telehealth appointments, CCC makes the process of getting a Pennsylvania medical marijuana card fast and easy. Learn more at cccregister.com.
Hello and welcome back to Cannabis House Call. My name is Dr. Les Matthews, and I'm once again joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Hal Altman. We are both medical doctors with advanced degrees in cannabis science and therapeutics, and produce this podcast on a weekly basis to try to provide unbiased and accurate information on all things cannabis to our listening public. We are extremely pleased today to be joined by a special guest. Dr. Brian Donner is with us today, and Brian is truly one of the thought leaders in medical cannabis in this country, and we're just thrilled to have him have a conversation with us about his work in the field of medical cannabis. So I'm going to turn it over to Hal to make a more formal introduction and begin the conversation with Dr. Donner.
Thank you, Les. Just full disclosure here, Dr. Brian is the chief medical officer and co-founder of Compassionate Certification Centers, which, if you listened to the beginning of this podcast, is a sponsor for us. He is, as Les said, an expert when it comes to medical cannabis, particularly in Pennsylvania. Prior to his interest in cannabis, he did his undergrad at Denison University. He got an advanced degree in medical education at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, and then went to the Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine in Erie, Pennsylvania, did his residency training at that training program. Like many physicians that we know, had varied interests, which led him to do some fellowship training in both wound care and hyperbaric medicine. And it's in those areas that I think he got interested in clinical research, which he carries forward today. He is a member of the American Academy of Cannabinoid Medicine, Americans for Safe Access, and the Society of Cannabis Clinicians. He has served as an expert speaker and panel representative on numerous medical cannabis conferences throughout the country. Brian, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. Glad to be here. Thanks for the kind introduction, Hal. I really appreciate it. Excited to talk to you both today.
Well, it comes from the heart, Brian. Brian and I go back. We shared some clinical medicine in a former life. So, Brian, we want to talk a little bit about medical cannabis in general, but specifically medical cannabis in Pennsylvania, and maybe lead us through your journey and how you got interested, what some of the formulation was that led you to get as involved as you are and to create CCC.
Yes, absolutely. So, and I'll try to give the short version here. I really became interested in medical cannabis during residency, during my emergency medicine residency, some research that I read that had come out of Israel. And at that time, there was some changes on a state level that were really going on. So that's really what drove, I think, my initial interest in medical cannabis was the actual just science behind it more than anything. And then I stayed involved. I started to teach myself and learn more about how the inner workings, the endocannabinoid system. And then fortunately, as fate may have it, Pennsylvania, which is my home state, had decided to institute a medical cannabis program. And for me, that was, I felt, a really, really good entry point. So, boy, this was, it seems like about 10 years ago at this point, but really at that point, I wanted to examine how I could get involved medically and from a physician's standpoint, which led me to how the Pennsylvania program was based, that patients would need physicians in order to enter the medical marijuana program. So from that idea or from that thought process or the regulations, we formed a company, Compassionate Certification Centers. So with respect to Compassionate Certification Centers, when we decided to form this organization, again, not only for me to get involved, but to provide a support service for patients that were going to be entering the state program, we had a feeling that based off of our understanding of the history and the development in different states, that there would be a limited number of physicians who were initially participating in the state program. So fortunately, I was able to work together with some local doctors and some colleagues of mine, and we started this organization really as a gateway for patients to be able to enter the Pennsylvania Medical Cannabis Program and to provide support. And over the years, we've been fortunate enough that we've really become the largest provider in the state, and we've had the pleasure and privilege of seeing tens of thousands of patients and watching the medical cannabis program in PA, I would say, develop and really come into its own. So that's where we are today and sort of the short and dirty version of how I got involved.
Brian, if I could lean on you just a little bit, obviously you're an advocate for cannabis as medicine. What are some of the positive lessons that you've learned from taking care of patients? What kind of feedback do you get from your patients? That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. God, the lessons I've learned in cannabis, you know, and how you and I have maybe spoke about this before, but I really think I've learned more from getting involved in cannabis than in lots of other parts of medicine, both as myself as a doctor and my patients, right? So I think number one, to know it was a really difficult sort of field to enter into, and there was a lot of pushback at start. And so to be able to make my way through that, and now it's much more embraced, has been a great pleasure of mine. With my patients, one of the things that I noticed were just how responsive people were. And not only were patients responsive to this new therapeutic option, but that it seemed to treat ailments and issues that in traditional medicine, we sometimes maybe missed the mark or didn't have the greatest treatments. And it seemed to be remarkably safe in my clinical opinion. And when I started to interact with patients, because when we started this, just like the patients, it was new to us as well. But you start to see patterns as a physician, right? And the patterns that we started to see of this being a benefit, and not only a benefit to the, let's say the qualifying conditions that we had, but the potential additional benefits were tremendous. So it's really built on that. And I can truly say that in my time as a doctor, I've seen cannabis change people's lives, patients, more as a medicine than maybe anything out there, you know, and I know that's a pretty bold statement, but it's been profound in my opinion.
And what are some of the most common clinical conditions that patients seek certification for?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania in particular, the most common are chronic pain and anxiety, I would say, by far. And cannabis in our clinical experience with patients has been very effective in both of those. One of the conditions, in my opinion, that cannabis works excellent for that's really not a qualifying condition but tends to run with a lot of these is insomnia and difficulty sleeping. And these are just very, very common ailments out there. So, and then obviously you get into some of the much more specific or maybe even less well-researched areas, such as Pennsylvania, opiate addiction or opiate therapy, substitution therapy. We've seen great results with that too. So from that standpoint, it's been pretty wide-reaching help. But from a commonality standpoint, absolutely, I would say chronic pain and anxiety in Pennsylvania are the biggest ones.
We understand that right now in Pennsylvania, while medical cannabis has been approved throughout the state, recreational has not. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. It's just on a medical level now.
And I also understand, and I'm in Maryland where recreational was more recently approved throughout the state, but I understand that in most states that have made the transition from medical to also recreational, that the availability of recreational cannabis can have an impact on the number of patients who seek or maintain their medical licenses and choose to go the recreational route, perhaps instead of the medical route. Have you had any, I know Pennsylvania is not in that situation yet, but have you had any experience or insight into those dynamics?
Absolutely. And I think this is a great point to bring up. And it's one of the things that we sort of focus on, particularly in Pennsylvania right now, that if and when things transition to an adult use type program, that the medical program and the patients will never lose focus and will always sort of take precedent. And I do think there's some models in different states that support that, which is very encouraging. We don't know what Pennsylvania will do when the time comes. However, I think there's been very positive, encouraging words from the Department of Health and the folks within that circle in Pennsylvania. One of the other unique things about Pennsylvania is they developed a dedicated research, clinical research program along with the medical cannabis program. And this is run through some of the medical schools in Pennsylvania. And so based off of that, with it obviously being medical focused, I think that helps to put Pennsylvania in a good spot to try to do things the right way if and when the time comes. But it's absolutely a concern, because if you don't do it in the correct manner, the people who would probably lose out the most are, just as you mentioned, the patients. So I think it's up to all of us to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I think all of us as consumers are always searching for value. Value in the medical cannabis space, I think, is being educated as a consumer and knowing what it is that might work for you. But there's also financial considerations. And so the criticisms that I've heard in other states that have had medical programs that kind of slide down whenever the recreational side comes on board is, you know, why should I pay a couple $100 a year to be certified in medical cannabis when I can walk into my dispensary and get essentially the same product? Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, number one, they're right when they say that if the program is set up that way. But I do think that there are safeguards you can put into place to help try to alleviate those type of pressures, right? Number one, you can make specific types of products available only on the medical side, right? Which again, there's precedent for already. I think there's also potential of, for lack of a better description, I'm going to say subsidizing some of the price on the medical end, where that the products might be available at a lower, more affordable price point from a medical perspective, which again, if somebody's using it as a medicine, seems completely reasonable. So I think that's, again, Hal, I think that's a concern for sure, but I do think there are some ways to sort of combat those type of things, as long as it's well thought out and taken the time to implement.
Yeah, I understand some states have even changed the tax structure based on recreational versus medical to, you know, try to encourage continued use of medical cannabis among the patients who had been using it.
And Brian, as you well know, part of the reason that Les and I are in this endeavor is because we feel so strongly that people who are using cannabis, whether it's pure medicine or quasi-medical, really need to have the basic information that allows them to choose the proper formulation, proper route of administration, all the things that we're trying to provide in this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, from experience, I feel the same way as both of you. And you know, one of the things I try to focus on when I talk to people is that it's sort of short term to think about, you know, the recreational, the adult use, that may go one route. But in my opinion, personally, the real long-term use benefit and potentially by default, the most money is from the medical side. We're really just getting started in this. I'm sure we'll talk at some point a little about the potential DEA and reshuffling of the schedule there. But once cannabis is made more available as a medicine on a federal level, it really changes the framework of things. And moving forward, it has a, in my opinion, a high probability of becoming highly, highly incorporated into modern medicine, right? So to me, that's where whenever you're looking at things with a vision and long-term, that's where it's going to be. Obviously, I'm biased and that's more important, right? But I think the medical part is what's going to drive everything more in the future, more so than the, let's just call it recreational component.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue into our next episode. We'll come back, we'll bring you back and try to talk a little bit about some clinical research matters and how it might apply to medical cannabis. So Dr. Brian Donner, we are thrilled to have you as a guest and come back and see us.
I appreciate you both. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. We really appreciate it. All information, material, and content on this podcast is for general information and educational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional and or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment by a qualified physician or healthcare provider. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and any materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. Cannabis House Call does not offer personal health or medical advice. If you have a medical emergency, call your doctor or call 911 immediately.